Well, let us turn in our Bibles to the first letter of the Apostle John. First letter of the Apostle John, chapter 3. Verse 18. 1 John, chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Our subject this evening is Christian assurance. Christian assurance. Well, last week, or rather 2 weeks ago, we looked at the subject of brotherly love. And, well, we considered the great example of brotherly love, that which we are to follow, the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us, and so we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And we considered what that meant. We are to love one another sacrificially, we are to help one another, we are to be long-suffering one toward the other, we are to protect one another from harm, from spiritual harm, of course, and this is very important. We are to love the brethren. And the apostle said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And well, of course, we considered that. The world does hate us. The world hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the world hated the Lord Jesus Christ, then the world will hate the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not greater than our Master, and we most certainly do not deserve an easier ride. So the Lord Jesus Christ was hated, and we who love him and who follow him, we will be hated too. And well, this is why it is so important for us as Christian people to love one another. What a terrible thing it would be if not only are we hated by the world, but we come into the church and there's hatred one toward another as well. What a terrible thing that would be. And this is why John mentions this. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. The world is going to hate you. Don't you dare hate one another in the church. That's a terrible thing. So, this is why we must love one another, a great exhortation and one that is so precious in our sight. And well, we thank the Lord for his word, and we must ask for his help as we apply it to ourselves. But we come to verse 17 this evening. And well, if we look back to verse 16, which was where we left off last time, that will help us as we consider verse 17. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels, or his heart, of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And this will be one of the themes as we come to the end of this chapter. And really the theme will be that our love for one another and for others even outside the church, our love is to be expressed not just in words, but in deeds. It is to be an active love. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? There must be deeds to back up our words, and this is what will be the apostle's lesson this evening. There are very similar words we read in the letter of James, and I just turn very briefly to it. You don't need to, but James chapter 2 and verse 15, If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So James is saying, well, you may be full of words, warm, loving words, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. But if your words are not backed up with any active deeds, well, what profit is it? What use is it? They're just words, empty words. And James even goes on to say, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Your faith, and we say this so many times, your faith will be evidenced by the things that you do. Your faith will be accompanied by works. And equally we can say our love one for another, our brotherly love one for another, will be backed up by words and great deeds in the church and outside of the church. And we look at those words in 1 John chapter 3, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Well, this can be a sad thing, and we all have to examine ourselves. We who in the Western society, in Western culture, we have so much of this world's good. We are prosperous. Many of us, we are comfortably well off. We have money in the bank. How do we deal with these things? How do we cope with these things in a godly way? Is our attitude that we look out for those who are in great need and seek to distribute to help others in their need? If we have this world's good, it is a sad thing when Christians become greedy and they think that everything that they have only belongs to them. The teaching of Scripture, of course, is completely different. We could look at many verses, but we won't have time this evening. This is really a different subject. But the Scripture teaches that everything we have in this life is not actually ours. Our money is not our own. Our property is not our own. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, that our lives are not our own. Our bodies are not our own. Nothing belongs to us. We are stewards. We are caretakers. Everything that we have, God has given us. We are just looking after it. So when Christians say to themselves, this is my money, I'm not going to give it to anybody else. This is what I've earned. This is my house. Nobody else is going to come into it. Well, that is so wrong. We are stewards. Everything that we have belongs to God. And what does God desire? God desires that we give to others, that we use what we have to help others. That is the will of God. And this is the teaching here. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? The evidence that we have the love of God in us is that we have love for others. And we use all our means, all our resources for others. This is a great evidence that this man, this woman is a child of God. They don't keep anything as though it were their own. They always give to others. They're always looking out for the needs of others. This is a sign of a truly regenerate heart, a true Christian. And then in verse 18, it continues, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Essentially, this is the same principle reapplied. In the letter of James, again, we have similar words. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And here the Apostle John, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And again, if we profess that we are Christians, if that is what we say, well, then our profession is only true if we actually back that up with deeds of love and gracious works toward others. Let us not simply talk a good game. Let us walk with the Lord and let us honor him in deed and in truth. It shows that you are a true Christian. And then verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And let's read on to at the end of verse 21, because as we examine these, we have to examine this all together. For if our heart condemn us, verse 20, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And really, well, these verses are speaking about assurance at the end of verse 19. It's speaking about how we can assure our hearts before him. How can we have Christian assurance? Assurance that we are right with God, that we are true believers. And well, verses 20 and 21 will help us to understand this. Now, I was going to spend a lot of time explaining what these two verses don't mean, but I ended up tying myself up in knots, so I don't want to do that to you. So I'm simply going to say what these words do mean. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now remember, the Apostle John is speaking to believers, Christian people. If our heart condemn us, we know that there are many people in the world whose hearts do not condemn them. There are unbelievers in this world, and they do wicked things, and they sin to their heart's content, but their hearts do not condemn them, because they're unregenerate people. But we as Christians, we have been woken up. We are regenerate. We have been quickened by the Spirit. And when we sin, when we do those things that are wrong, when we are not sincere, when we say things and we don't back them up with deeds, when we are not walking with the Lord, when we are not being honest or sincere, when our walk with the Lord is not right, then our hearts do condemn us. We as Christian people, when we know that something is not right, well, our hearts condemn us. And what this verse is saying, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If we are troubled by our sin, if we are condemned by our own hearts, then how much more is God troubled by our sin? How much more offensive is our sin to God? If our own hearts condemn us and we are sinners, we are flesh and blood, how much more is God offended by those things that we do? God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. God sees all our sins. God sees all the sins that even we don't see. Our hearts condemn us when we see the sins that we have committed, but God can see all the sins that we don't even realize we've committed. He sees all things. He knows all things. And, well, how does this relate to assurance? Well, If we know that God has seen our sin, well, then that wrecks our assurance. That wrecks our relationship with God. And well, we remember Adam when he sinned, the fall of man. What did he do? He hid himself from God. He hid himself because he was ashamed. He was ashamed of his nakedness. He didn't want God to see him. He separated himself from God because he knew that he had sinned and he was ashamed. And you know, this is what it is like for us. When we have sinned, we hide ourselves from God. It wrecks our assurance. It wrecks our relationship. We know that we have sinned in the sight of God. We know that we are naked, just like Adam was, in the sight of God, and we go and hide ourselves away. If our hearts condemn us, well, then most surely our relationship with God is destroyed. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And this is so true, is it not? This is what the apostle is trying to explain. When we sin, well, we can't pray. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That keeps playing on our minds, and we feel like hypocrites. And, well, it's very common that when we do sin, when we fall into one great sin, all the other sins that we've committed in our life, they come back to haunt us. They all come back, and Satan taunts us and says, are you really a believer? You did this today, but remember all those other sins that you did last week and the week before that? You've been a terrible Christian. Your assurance is gone. And this is what these words really are communicating. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. We know that we have sinned in the sight of God, and it is so difficult to maintain that good relationship with him. But then the contrast in verse 21. But beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. If, on the other hand, we are walking rightly with God, and we are pursuing after holiness, and we are doing our level best to obey God and to live in a way that is pleasing to him, if after honest examination of ourselves, we know that we are doing our best, then have we confidence toward God. Then we can have boldness. Then our assurance is great. This is the contrast that is being presented to us. If we sin, our hearts condemn us, everything is lost, everything becomes difficult. But beloved, if you simply obey, if you do your best, if you strive to live according to God's will and in obedience to his word, then you will have confidence, boldness. You will have assurance that you are truly a child of God. Your heart will be assured. And that word confidence in verse 21, well, it could equally be translated boldness. Boldness. Obedience leads to assurance, and assurance leads to boldness. Somebody who's walking with the Lord closely, you can see their boldness. They're bolder in praise, in worship. The way they sing the hymns, well, it's more fervent, heartier, because they're walking with the Lord. They're bold in their joy. They have greater joy in their hearts. And they desire to tell everybody else about the Lord. They're bold in their service. They are bolder in their witness, in their testimony. If you are walking with the Lord and living for him, well, when you witness to others, you'll be bolder. You'll be more persuasive. The love that you have for God will come through. It will be bolder because you know that you are walking with the Lord. Your heart doesn't condemn you. Then you have confidence toward God. and you'll have great boldness in prayer. There'll no longer be any hindrance to your prayer life. Sin is such a great hindrance to prayer. But when you're walking with the Lord and doing those things that are in obedience to Him, well, you just see the difference. How much bolder you are, how much more you pray. And you pray for greater things. When we're not walking right with the Lord, we only tend to pray really for small things because we don't feel we have any right to pray for anything greater. We're not walking with the Lord. We don't dare bring anything to the throne when we're so lame, when we're not walking with Him. But when we are, well, the sky's the limit. Our prayers are greater. Our prayers are bolder. Dear friends, we must strive for this. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. This is someone who has assurance, and it is because they are doing their best to obey God. That is what has strengthened their Christian lives. And while prayer is mentioned in verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Well, the Lord will mightily bless our prayers. And the more our prayers are answered, well, the greater our assurance. That's a great blessing to us. When the Lord hears us and we see great answers to our prayers, well then, well, we know that the Lord is with us, and that adds to our assurance. But let us look at verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. This is, well, the great commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This is the great work. This is the great priority in our lives, that we believe in the Lord. And well, I read from John chapter 6 earlier, and we read from verse 28, those who came to the Lord Jesus Christ with a question, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. This is the work of God, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It runs parallel to that which we see in 1 John chapter 3. This is the work of God, the great commandment. And sometimes you meet Christians and they get so caught up with everything else except believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And well, we've mentioned this so often, for some Christians, it's all about prosperity. Prosperity gospel. It's all about good things in this life. That's why I'm a Christian. Or it's all about the social gospel. This is the work of God. What is the work of God, they ask? Well, it's to go out and do good things for people and feed them and clothe them. And that's it. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. Evangelism, the first and foremost thing that we as children of God must set before the people, do you believe? Over and above feeding them and sheltering them and so on, the most important thing, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know and understand why He died? Do you realize that through His death, your sins are forgiven? This is the work of God. First and foremost, if we achieve nothing else, well, then the Lord is pleased, even if we don't manage to provide in any other way. This is the greatest work that we must do. that we save souls, that we preach the gospel, and that they believe. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And this is what the Apostle John, of course, is mentioning here. This is his great commandment. And of course, well, this is the only way we can know true assurance. This is where it begins and ends. The only way you can know true assurance as a Christian is if you believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Your faith, it's not your works. Your works will never give you assurance. Never give you assurance. Yes, you may have your good days when you do good things and you feel quite good about yourself, but you'll also have your bad days. And your bad days will wreck all of your assurance. If you're depending on your works, how are you ever going to make up for your bad days, for your secret sins that God sees, that God knows? You can't. It's only Christ who can make up for that. Only his blood has atoned for our sins. That's the only way you can have assurance. It's by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing else. And from that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will then come the good works, then come those works of love, then we open up our heart of compassion, then we serve the brethren in deed and in truth, but it starts with belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And verse 24, finally, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. What a glorious thought. When we obey God, we dwell in him, in Christ. And he in him, well, Christ is our home. Christ is where we dwell. And obedience is the great aim when we walk with the Lord. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Well, we've mentioned this already in our series, so I won't spend much time, but it is the Holy Spirit which gives us that great assurance. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us great understanding of the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us, whenever we read these things, to know that these things are right. These things are not too strict. These things are not wrong. What the Apostle is teaching us is perfectly right. We must preach Christ. We must urge all of those who come into this place to seek and find the Lord and to know him and to trust in him. We know that these things are our great priorities because of the Spirit which he hath given us. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us. May the Spirit work in us and help us as we continue to live according to the Word of God. Well, let us turn in our hymn books to our final hymn, or rather the hymn that will prepare us for the Lord's Supper. Hymn number 259. Hymn number 259. We wonder at the works of God, displayed through all the world abroad, immensely great, minutely small, yet one strange work exceeds them all. Almighty God breathed human breath, the Lord of life experienced death, suffering the pains of hell for those who should have perished as his foes. The highest heavens fall short of this. 'Tis deeper than the vast abyss. 'Tis more than thought could e'er conceive or hope expect or flesh believe. Blessed with this knowledge, let us raise our hearts in love, our voice in praise. Now we believe, but soon shall know the greatest glories God can show. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank Thee for this time that we have spent together under the sound of Thy word. And Lord, we do pray that Thy word would shape us, that we would keep Thy word in our hearts, that we may not sin against Thee, that our hearts would not condemn us, but that we would have that boldness, that confidence, that assurance that we are indeed Thy children. Oh Lord, help us that we may know greater joy, that we may know greater love and greater obedience, that our joy may be full in Thee. Dear Lord, continue with us as we gather for the Lord's Supper. Bless our hearts, we pray, and forgive us afresh all our many sins. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.